Hot Tackler 277 Armor Lock Discussion for March 12th, 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your host, Affleck.
And the Affleck factor starts now.
Yes. And we are without Greg tonight. I don't know where he is. I tried calling him. I tried texting him. I don't know where he is. But we are discussing Armor Lock, since people apparently liked our little 30-minute discussion that we had when we were talking about the Halo 4 news that came out. And we have quite a panel to help move things along, including Keet, who was on the show when we had that discussion. Welcome back.
I'm in your orifice.
Ow, Keet, motherfucker! Ow, Keet, goddamn!
That would be Green Skull. Hello, Mr. Green Skull. Wow. Okay, we're 1 minute in, and I'm already bleeping my first words.
You ready to mark that podcast explicit? Oh, you can mark just one of them too. You don't have to do all of them.
To the window.
Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. Also from the Podtacular community, we have, I guess he's still kind of the overlord, although the clans aren't really active. But we have Old Regime.
Yeah.
All the way in Hong Kong, apparently.
That's right. Look, the Podtacular Pro Clan is like, it's like the Enclave from Fallout, right? Really big players back in the day, but now we're kind of just like scattered remnants who, you know, periodically help out the NCR with the battle for Hoover Dam.
I don't really get any of those metaphors, but the word enclave sounds pretty cool, and I'm gonna say sure.
They are cool. They're a bunch of
Fallout 3. You don't know what you're talking about.
The enclave. They're a bunch of fascist elitists. You'll love them.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, we're pretty elite.
No, you don't. And we also have Slightly Live.
Hello.
Do it live.
Dude, slightly.
I think I'm in the wrong, but I wanted to go to the toilet, and I could have swore that door was leading to the toilet. I don't know where I am.
He's in the okay, so he's in the UK,
right?
So yes,
yeah.
2-3 in the morning, you do walk around not knowing where you're going.
Alrighty.
From forward onto dawn.
.com. Thank you.
.com.
.com.
Recently started your own podcast, right?
Yeah, we have our only thing going.
I subscribed. I haven't listened to any of the shows yet because I'm back like, literally on about five other shows. I have like seven or eight shows to listen to. So once I get through those, I'll start listening to your podcast.
Well, yeah,
that's every podcast.
Got stuff sorted out, so. Still like proper now, apparently.
First world problems.
So what kind of stuff do you talk about on your podcast?
Fiction stuff and gameplay stuff usually, but the past few podcasts have been very fiction focused. Like we did one focusing on Primordium.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to tune into that, you probably might want to read the book beforehand.
Right. That's one thing I gotta do once I get my job. Oh, by the way, I got my job offer today, so I will have my job within the month. So.
What job is it?
I am working for the government up near the.
Oh no! Don't
near the capital.
No! Oh no!
Look, he's an enclave member in the making. Dustin,
the buzzword government.
When the processing is finished, they'll give you a whole functioning suit of Tesla armor, right? And a couple laser rifles.
No, unfortunately, they don't have that, or they don't have.
They will soon
just give out.
That storm will be surviving, like in Fallout 3.
Although I have thought about going to
DC,
Bethesda Studios, which is actually about an hour and a half from where I'll be. So,
also, right, because in Washington DC, all the bureaucrats in Congress people just. Just walk around in the Enclave slash government Tesla armor, yes.
Not quite. Not quite. All right, so this podcast is basically a roundtable to discuss armor lock. We're going to kind of dance around a little bit and talk about things that's related to armor locks, so we actually have somewhat of a structured discussion. But if you don't want to hear us rant, or for some reason someone's been commenting that we sound like we're whining, I don't know how that's happened. I've talked to 4 or 5 other comedian leaders, and I'm like, do we sound like we're whining? And they're like, no, not really. But I'm like, okay. So if you don't want to hear us arguing and bickering over something as small as, or I mean, a lot of
things huge
as armor lock, then this is a show you might want to skip. So if not, stay tuned. You're in for a rough ride.
Well, the definition of whining to that person may be a discussion. So
maybe
I'm
biting my tongue on that though.
I don't know. I have well everybody's definition of whining is different. I know what mine is. That's whining.
Yeah, that's whining.
I hate armor lock.
It's not whining.
We weren't doing that. We had a pretty lucid conversation about armor lock.
Right.
I thought it was somewhat intelligent.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I liked it, so
somewhat.
I mean,
Webster's dictionary defines whining as to utter a high-pitched or plaintive or distressed cry. So if any of you guys were speaking with a high pitch or sounding extremely distressed.
I don't honestly think we were.
Were you guys distressed at all during your discussion?
No.
No.
All right, then I think we're good.
No, I think
we are.
So to Mr. Weiner Poster, that was whining.
You know, I was thinking that, but I just decided not to say anything.
No.
He
told us how he was feeling. He was honest. I actually loved that post because it was honest. That's totally full honesty. Was it focused? No.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, well, I mean, If there's something constructive minutes. That you think that you can tell us that would help the show out, then sure, go ahead and leave your comments. But just saying that we're whining and you can't bear us anymore, well, that's not going to help change anything. So
can you get that guy in here, actually?
I'm not going to try.
I would, actually. That's what we need to talk to. Because if this person is listening to these shows that much that all of a sudden we're starting to whine.
If he has an issue with it, he can email me. He can find my email address. It's dustroom@pottaglar.com.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I was saying. We want to talk to him.
Oh, boy.
Seriously. I really like to hear his counterpoint.
I did not start the fire. Just to note, I didn't.
Here's the thing, though. He's been listening. He says, "Oh my God, I love Halo, but I can't listen to you guys anymore." That means he's been listening, and now he can't listen anymore.
Along with,
I want to know why.
10,000 other people.
We've been talking
listening.
The same way for all this time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think so.
That's what I know. Wouldn't you want to know what made it this episode to make him finally stop?
Or he'll stop listening and just go away. Okay, well, let's get on to the discussion. So,
I want Serglove. I want you.
So, armor lock basically spawns, and I guess I'm going to kind of draw a little tree here, but we had camo and overshields in Halo 1. We didn't have anything added in Halo 2. Halo 3 comes along, and we have equipment. And that includes the bubble shield, the regenerator, the power drainer, and all that stuff. So, hello?
Yeah,
we're here.
Oh, someone just muted their mic, and I heard, I don't hear background noise anymore, so I'm like, oh, wow. Anyways, so Halo 3 had equipment, and then with Halo Reach, we have armor abilities, and that's kind of the evolution that we've had with Halo. Now, some people for Halo 3 kind of didn't like some of the items that you could pick up, but I think overall they weren't that bad, and they definitely weren't used professionally in competitive stuff where you would see like MLG play. Camo and Overshield were basically the things that stayed.
What made them good was the fact that they were so rare. There'd be, you know, like one bubble shield per map or whatever.
Right. And I was just about to get to that.
Every now and then I'd use it. It was actually an interesting change of pace. Mm. But
yeah, and they're only good if you could use them effectively. Like if you could drop the that blue one that knocks out like the EMP thing. Yeah, I don't know what it's called. Yeah, if you could jump off a lift with that and toss it at a Banshee or something. But other than that, it's pretty useless if you just like send it in the middle of nowhere. So
all right. I mean, that's one of the things about Halo 3, which is where it worked, and that's what I was getting to, is that there was one of these, or very few of these things specifically laid out on the map, and you had to go pick them up.
Right.
Where with Reach, everyone has the ability to choose this loadout, and Armorlock being one of them.
You actually make right at the core. That's perfect.
See, I have somewhat of a structure that I'm trying to go with. That's not perfect.
It's a different dynamic that we were used to that wasn't complained about. Okay. I want to hear more of this story. Go ahead.
All right. So, I mean, this is opening kind of to the first part of the discussion. So,
it's beautiful.
With Armorlock available to everybody, there's definitely teams that just go pretty much all out Armorlock. And if you go in groups and you have someone go into Armlock and then have someone else come up, it's really easy to take out the opposing team if they're not using Armlock. And it just gets really annoying. I mean, especially if you have a whole other team using Armlock. And it's, at least from my experience, it's easy to take out one person that's using Armlock. Like, because you can usually time when they're going to come out. You can throw grenades and that kind of stuff. But when you're going up a whole team against armor locks, you're just kind of a shot in the dark to get lucky.
Well, the other day, actually, I tweeted about it because I was so frustrated. I actually played a game of it was Slayer, and the other team was actually – they were horrible. They were a terrible team. Mm-hmm. They would literally just stand. They wouldn't strafe. They would miss all their shots on me. But the entire team used armor lock, and they still beat us. And it was so frustrating to lose to a team who was so bad just because they would, every time they're about to die, they'd throw an armor lock and all their team would come and kill them. That's so, it just makes me so mad.
Right. So, what do you guys think is a good counterattack to a whole team that's using armor lock? I mean, I haven't really been able to figure things out, but I would assume the only way you could really do it is to get someone spread out. Or get the team spread out.
Fight Armorlock is with using Armorlock, really. You know, if an entire team is using it, there's not much else you can do.
The first thing I would ask is
so you're basically trying to fight Armorlock by encouraging Armorlock use.
Exactly.
Right. But how often does it happen where the whole team is using Armorlock? How often does that listen? And this is coming from somebody who definitely doesn't have as much online time as you guys, for sure. Okay, and I'm gonna say that right out for anything I say going forward. I definitely don't have as much matchmaking. Like, what's the usual when you get matched up with people? Like, how often is it happening out there? How often are you running into teams where you have the whole team use an armor lock? You guys have way more games than I have.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be the whole team. It could be. If you're doing something like
that. Well, hold on. You're talking about whole team. Because
a majority. Because you can have, like, if you're going Team Slayer, if you have three out of the four people using armor lock, then you're basically screwed. And then if for a big team, if you have, like, at least five people using armor lock, then you're pretty much screwed. So I guess more or less if a majority of the opposing team is using armor lock.
But still, going back to his point, how often do you see it? I played a lot, and if I was being honest with myself, I don't think I've run into many full teams or majority of teams using armor lockets. That's a very rare thing to happen. It's usually one or two people on a team.
I'm unlucky because in the past 3 days, for whatever reason, it's been concentrated. Every other, every third game,
Which probably prompted that tweet.
Yeah. Now people read it.
Yeah.
To be honest, it's not a full team of armor lockers that does my head. It's usually when someone armor locks and then someone has a jetpack flying above their heads. It's just the whole combo of armor lock plus other stuff that aggravates me rather than just a whole team of armor lockers because you just wait them out.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You can really refine it down to armor lock in general. It's just, even after the title update, it helps a little, but it's still just not fair being denied your kills when you rightfully earn them.
Right. Yeah, invincibility button is essentially.
You rightfully earned them in another game, though. Not this one.
Yeah. Well, even with update, what they did with, I guess, kind of nerfing the armor lock, if you look at the effects of it, and Nick and Eli did a good comparison video of this a while back.
The title update on paper sounds like it nerfs armor lock, but in practicality, when you're actually playing the game, the difference really isn't as substantial as you would have hoped for.
Right, because you're so used to already playing it's how timing. Armor lock is used that you're basically waiting out until the guy
it's
comes out.
It's timing. Yeah, if you know how to time armor lock right, then that doesn't matter what you do.
But you can't time armor lock right. That's the thing. Armor lock, you can come out of it whenever you want, so you can't time it.
Yeah. Well, but
you can if you just it's a trigger on any button, you know, when somebody's at the time they're throwing their shit and the time you go into lock, you know, if you do that right, yes, there's a whole and also where you position this. They're adding more factors because you can trigger it. It's an additional shield.
But if you compare armor lock to the other abilities, the majority of armor abilities in Reach are all movement based. You know, you have a jetpack that helps you go, you know, vertically. You have sprint, roll, and here's suddenly this one out of nowhere. Everybody's running around the map, flying places, and some guy just sitting there being invincible.
I wouldn't really call camo a movement-based thing. Camo is the opposite.
Camo's really not that unfair at all. It's, you know,
he's just talking.
And then everybody's.
But, I mean, there's a significant difference between how Halo 3 does, quote-unquote, equipment and how Halo Reach does equipment, which is...
Absolutely.
I mean, I wanted to kind of get into this discussion where we're talking about, in Halo 3, we have these rare one-time use items, where in Halo Reach, we have items where anyone can pick them and anyone can use them at any time.
Right.
And one of the things that we can basically directly compare is camo from Halo 3 and camo in Halo Reach. Now, with Halo Reach, you can basically, if you played it well, you could go the whole game almost being invisible or not being seen by other players on the map. I mean, why you would want to do that, I don't know. But there's a game dynamic change from Halo 3 to Halo Reach, and I think that's why a lot of people don't like the armor abilities as they are now.
I think the question is the change from Halo 3 to Reach, was it needed in the first place? Like, did they need to give this special ability that you high fight for, by the way, you high contest it, you high find it on the map and fight the enemy team for it? That special ability, multiply that special ability so everyone can have it and give it an unlimited use for each person. That's a drastic change from 3D Reach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, but they might have just been wanting to mix it up a little bit. Like, if you keep everything the same for a few games in a row, then people will start, the other side of that is people will start to complain that there's no change.
It was definitely more of an experiment, I guess. But when it does change the game that drastically and it does kind of level the playing field in an unfair way, then...
But giving everybody something like Sprint is okay. If you play games like SWAT where that's all everybody has is Sprint, you don't even notice. It doesn't matter. You don't go like, oh, man, the guy was sprinting, so he screwed me over. If you're sprinting, you're vulnerable. You've got to take a second to stop and shoot. And, you know, if you kill the guy, I'll get an extra medal also, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not that big of a deal. But as soon as everybody has this stupid armor lock, it's a completely different story.
Well, how about then? Imagine that if you went to an armor lock playlist and instead of Sprint and SWAT, how about Team Armor Lock?
Oh, gosh.
Armor Lock, Team Jetpack?
The games last like 30 minutes.
The game's.
It actually happened today. It was the perfect example of why armor lock isn't good. Like, that kind of idea is not good in video games in general. We were on Sword Base, and we're on the top of that that lift room, and there's already a few guys in there waiting for us. And we all come up, and all my buddies use armor lock, and all the bad guys use armor lock, and I'm standing there like, what? And there's grenades filled the entire room. And there's like 12 people in armor lock. Yeah. They just boom, 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 boom. Anybody knock armor lock, die. And then they all get up, and they all melee each other today.
Isn't that stupid? Like, isn't that like a detriment to Halo's sandbox at the moment like that exists?
But even like I mentioned before, though, in gaming in general, to have something that stops gameplay in its tracks should never happen.
And you didn't see. I mean, there was the invincibility pickup in Halo 3, but you never saw it in matchmaking, right?
Yeah.
You're gonna say something, Keith?
Well. I feel like we're getting a little loose from if we're going to focus on a particular thing here. I mean, we're talking about balance.
We're kind of dancing also around,
Yeah. No, but I just, you know what? It's really, we've already, you know, critiqued the hell out of, you know, the armor abilities and stuff like that, but it's Reach. That's Reach's thing.
Yeah.
So, that's everything. My biggest thing I've always just been doing is every game is a different game. All right. I mean, the formula, if the formula is what you're talking about, the Halo formula, out of all the games, the formula that's been changed the most out of all the games is what game?
Reach.
Okay.
Without a doubt. Reach, it didn't feel like Halo as much. And you know, I'm not gonna go on.
But why was it changed? But why was it done that way?
I mean,
you gotta think of philosophy behind the game. Change. You do need change, and I agree with that. But it's, you know, sometimes things just don't work. In the beta,
that's not what I'm disputing. I'm not saying it. Do you know what it is? It's I just feel like you're just making a potpourri. You know what I mean?
Yeah, seriously. I mean,
how it in there?
How's that whole change working out for you?
Here's a question for you. With the original Halo trilogy prior to Reach, built on the so-called golden tripod of guns, melee, and grenades, was there any need to introduce a new element to that paradigm? Was there any need to introduce a new element instead of refining that element further the way the first three games did? Could we not find a way to refine those elements without adding more to them? Was an addition even needed in the first place, basically? Especially one with the scope and the wide-ranging impact that armor abilities have, not just armor lock, but the entire, any one of those armor abilities will have a tremendous impact on that tripod, and having all of them there, I think it was just completely over the top and just obliterated
it. Like, if you just threw in, you know, everybody has sprint, it really wouldn't have been that much different. Like I mentioned, Rob Swap before, it still feels like Halo when you can only sprint. You can just go fast. That's okay.
You know what? It's funny. That's what Slate Live just said. It's funny. It's like, I'm already excited about Halo 4, not even knowing what they're going to add to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So what Slate Live is talking about is like, did they need to even go further, like more armored abilities, more things to change it? Did they even need to do it for us? And I even said this, like, let's be selfish here. What are we doing? We're doing a podcast about Halo. You know, we can talk about what we want. You know, I mean,
right.
We have the things that we've known over the years and stuff like that, but we still, if you add stuff, we're already happy, but you know what? You gotta remove yourself from that and just say, like, if you're designing a video game, what the hell? They're not necessarily, I know this, Bungie is definitely not, you know, adding stuff just because they want to please us. You know, they're gonna do it from an artistic point of view. So
did we get armor abilities because they were getting bored? Is that what you're trying to say? Like, we got armor built because Bungie were just bored.
Well, I mean,
That's the thing. I can't answer that question. Who can answer that question? Nobody here can. I really don't understand. Like, You're right. You're absolutely right. I would have been happy early stuff. I'm already excited about Halo 4, and you don't have to tell me how many armored abilities. There could be three, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we know there is. So
you also have to look at when, because now it's like, okay, we know that this kind of thing doesn't work or breaks the game, and
right.
I mean, granted, here we are sitting talking about how Armlock's broken the game, but would you have ever thought that something like this was even possible if Bungie didn't go as far to try something that they wanted to put into a game?
I'm all for creativity and adding new things, but it's just something like this just needs to be figured out. You'd think with so much extensive testing, someone would be like, okay, this Armlock thing, this just isn't going to fly for Halo.
I'm going to disagree with you guys a little bit. I think we're generalizing all of these armor abilities based on our dislike for armor lock, because I don't think you can say that all the other ones don't work. There's nothing really wrong with sprint or jetpack or things like that.
I could make a very good argument against jetpack if you fuck me up, dude.
Well, let's
so
talk
I wouldn't
about
necessarily
it.
Agree with you.
Well, but Green Skull's right, too, is in the sense that it's a generalizing. I mean, yes, we could actually critique every armor ability here and just say, like, you know, this could have fit better in this map, in this situation, this game type. Oh, my God, all the scenarios. So, but let's...
You want to start a war on the jetpack?
Wait, the most critique...
Well, let's get it on, my friend. Let's have some jetpack horror calls here on the Savage Potacular Nation.
I don't use it, so I can't test it.
You can't if you ever play with Bumper Jumper. You can never use the jetpack, so it's
I don't play. Yeah, exactly. I don't play Bumper Jumper. That was the first thing before Halo Reach came out. I was just like, oh my god, you better think about
that. The most important thing against the jetpack, it destroys my control scheme, and I can't use it as comfortably as other people can, just because of my control scheme. Not silly alone.
That armor ability. Just that armor ability contextual input destroyed a lot of control configurations. It throws everybody off. Not everybody. A lot
just
of people.
Just a little bit down on the jetpack, since we're in this territory. One thing I want to bring up is that one of the reasons why I dislike jetpack is because it takes away from the traditional flow of a map. And I'm going to use an example here, Reflection. As it was in Halo 2, it didn't have the jetpack in mind when it was designed, and the whole flow of the map never even considered it. So with Reach, you know what they did? You know what they actually did to the map in Reach? And this is I can't remember if I can give it to an exact Bungie employee, but it was said that what they did to the map to allow jetpack to be incorporated into it was increase the ceiling height a little bit, and that apparently made it all right. And that map is terrible with jetpack. You just fly over up the top sniper, and it's disgusting. It just completely destroys the flow of the map. And the fact that they raised the ceiling a little bit is insulting to me as a player, because I
I'd like to add in
all right, wait. I'm sorry. We got to wrangle this in.
What?
Dustin, help us.
No, this is good.
Okay.
I feel like we could go
there's
on.
A defense. There's a defense.
I'll stop it if it gets too far, okay?
The defense. If you're in the air, you're going to get... Have you ever tried jetpacking on something like Ascension? You will be picked off in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the air, you are everybody's target. Armorlock, you can't just defend against it like that. You're not just suddenly going to die.
It works perfectly on Ascension where it's open, and on Reflection where it's completely closed, it's ruinous. Simple as. If you have a multi-story level, imagine the jetpack on Construct in Halo 3, where you could just zoom up to the top anywhere, anytime, it would be ruinous.
Yeah, that's true.
How frustrated I am about armor lock. I just broke a plate.
Ground pound.
Did you actually break a plate?
Yeah, break just flew off my desk. The ghost, man!
Oh, man.
All right, you know what?
Out of all
the armor abilities, the one that's probably the most controversial is what?
Armor lock.
It has to be, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about it.
I mean, it sounds like from a general consensus, almost everyone here hates it.
Drop shield.
Well, how can you not hit an instant pause button for gunplay in a first-person shooter? Well, as like, I'll press this button. Everyone, hold on. I want to pause. Let me drink my drink here. You know what? Why would you like that?
Just hanging out. It's like, oh, let's stop playing for a second. Let's have a chat. And then suddenly we're back in the game again. Like, that's, yeah. We shouldn't be like it.
I mean, I understand the concept behind Armor Lock, but after seeing it actually used in game, it's just there's no place for it anymore.
It sounds good on paper, but and whenever it plays out, like, it's, how did it ever get past playtesting? Who in their right mind? Like, what kind of consensus did they reach? Too, like, yeah, that's broken the game just enough.
How does it get past? Right.
Oh, I mean, it probably got past because what? It takes 10 seconds for it to run out, and if you stand a little bit away from them, you can still be shooting them as soon as they pop back out. Or whereas the opposite side is, if you run up to them, it'll freeze your vehicle. I mean, there's both sides.
Yeah, EMP burst. It has all these magical properties. It blows up ghosts and all.
Every superpower into one.
I mean, they do make for some funny moments, though.
True. True.
Although it's almost like the duration on it's too long, though.
I would agree with that one.
I'm definitely going to agree with that one.
I appreciate Armor Lock is when, like, it blows up ghosts and destroy vehicles with it. I think that's really cool. To actually have a
defense. No. The fact that Armor Lock has a detrimental impact on the vehicle sandbox with Reach's already crap vehicle sandbox, it's a kick in the nuts. It's a kick in the nuts from the guy sitting down there having a heart attack. You don't do that to someone.
Hey, who is? But you know what? Whole thing. Yes. All right. Fine. Whatever the vehicles, sandbox. But who is really good at doing the ground pound right before a vehicle comes in? Who
there's
thinks
quite
of that
a few
right
people.
At the last second?
There's,
who's
I
good
get
at
raked
that
all the time.
In this room?
In this, I can't. I don't even. I as you know, I'm grateful for my enemies, and I do not wish armor lock upon them, so I do not use it.
I don't like it that much. I mean, the only time I use armor lock is out of spite.
I use armor lock.
I'll rage into armor lock if I'll rage into armor lock.
You'll use it ironically. Like, I'm armor lock and I don't have to. I'm just doing it just because in the middle of a firefight, I'll just go down in armor lock.
And it's like, whenever I switch to armor lock, since I'm so used to sprinting at the start, I always tap and it's like, oh, that's right, I'm in armor lock. So I just lost 2 seconds of playing a game.
I do the same if I don't use jetpack. Because I use jetpack so much, I'm like, I'll jump off this edge. Like, oh, crap, and just fall to my death.
Well, that's just talking about if you're just not good at jetpack. And I'm bad at it, too. So, I mean, I know, I just, armor lock, I don't know, I can use it as a strategy.
But there's
but also no
armor lock
using
that if they were to include it, just need to be changed.
It's bad. Its implementation is bad. Slightly live. We actually have been through this before, too. I've actually fine-tuned my armor lock argument because of Slightly Live. Because I've kept him up till 6 a.m. on his end talking about this.
And we're going to do the same thing now, aren't we?
We might, you know, you're the one who started this.
6 a.m.? Right?
You guys have seen those
videos. You're the one who started this armor lock thing. I was already like, yeah, I'm done. I'm done. But I feel
you
like
you guys have seen those videos when the vehicle runs into armor lock and they just go shooting into the distance and they explode on the rocks or stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'd say armor lock is one of those really annoying glitchy ones, too.
That's a Covenant vehicle glitch. That's a geometry glitch. And that happens with every. I mean.
The Revenant is especially vulnerable to that bug.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's merely a, it's literally a physics and geometry glitch of how some of the pieces on the Covenant vehicles interact with the terrain. Because you could go over a hill and depending on how the game engine interprets a certain part of the vehicle being in the terrain, I think what the game engine tries to do is get the thing out of the level because of the collision. Of it.
Yeah, it's definitely Covenant stuff as well, with no wheels or anything. It's the anti-gravity vehicles.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah. So, and that's weird because that didn't happen in any of the Halo games, did it?
No. I've never. There might have been one or two random bugs where it might have happened, but it was certainly not a regular occurrence like it is in Reach.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, by now it's just like, oh, that's funny. And
all right, guys.
A glitch.
I'm going to have to duck out. I got to run off to class, but it was good talking to you guys.
All right.
All right.
Peace.
Later.
The ground pound.
So if we...
I love the ground pound.
So if we wanted
how funny is that nowadays? But how many times you watch a video? Haha, he armor locked a vehicle and it blew up. I didn't see that one coming.
Well, like,
that's
the biggest thing I was about armor lock that I still am surprised. When I go into armor lock, people still stand right next to me. They still stand next to me.
It's still,
they still hang out.
It's still funny to watch, though. I mean,
oh, it's hilarious.
It's never a dull moment when someone gets totally destroyed by a perfectly timed armor lock.
Guys, let's try to look at it this way. Let's try to look at it this way. Do you remember, like, we think of things in past video games we played, and it was some piece of part of the game that we would laugh at. How are we going to laugh at by the time Halo 6 comes out and we talk about armor lock after that? Like, maybe it'll evolve. Maybe it won't be in Halo 6. Maybe it won't be in Halo 5. There's a chance it might be in Halo 4.
I mean,
if it's in Halo 4, I'm switching to Call of Duty.
That's not going to happen. You guys all, anybody who says that, I'm going to tell every single person one of that says if there's armor lock and Halo 4, then that they're fucking jumping ship, they're full of shit.
Yeah, it's true.
Well,
I wouldn't go as far to say, like, no armor lock.
Sorry, full of crap. I'm on protecting.
of armor lock and Halo 4, I'm sticking to MLG. I can't even play MLG.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I guess let's talk a little bit about what would need to change in the core part of armor lock to even make it remotely work. I mean, one thing think of is...
There's no way a developer can just rip out a organ out of a game. Let me pull out all the...
I'm saying that if armor lock was still in there, one of the things I would definitely consider is lowering the duration on it. Make it to
Dustin.
Take like 2 seconds. Pop, you're out.
Or not even that long. Like, like a last ditch effort that doesn't really change the game flow that much. Like, just have it be a second. 2 seconds is too long.
Here's an idea.
One How second would almost seem like the right amount of time because
how many seconds?
And you're out.
How many seconds?
1 second.
Make it like a... Make it like a block or a parry in a fighting game, maybe.
Looks like it just happened now.
Like, it depends on the sticky grenade. You get stuck with a grenade, just pound, you're good, and then you fight again.
Yeah, something like that. If you could just time it just right, like a parry or something,
time it
you survive.
So basically, if armor lock took some amount of skill to use, it would be more balanced.
If the pause button, if the invincibility button took any amount of skill to use, it would be better, yes. Because it's an invincibility button, for heaven's sake.
Never.
You know?
Yeah, so funny. How do you know you'll be even good at this skill? How about this?
It comes out to that whole perfect timing.
Yeah. How about this? How about you guys play Gears of War? The auto reload? The reload?
Yeah.
How about make all armor abilities that?
Well, like, so if you mistime your armor lock, your shields get drained instead of you becoming invincible.
Well, you can't really do a timing like that in terms of...
You know what? It wouldn't be a bad idea. Is if when you're in armor lock, you're actually using up your shields.
Not for all armor abilities. For the shield ones and stuff that makes you have a good defense.
Daft, you don't like this idea, it sounds like.
I'm just giving it a random percentage chance to fail.
Hang on.
So you press armor lock, and your dice roll fails, basically, and you just sit there and die anyway.
If you can include a quick dice roll, but in Gears of War, that is a quick dice roll that works.
But...
That's a very fast-paced game.
Let's let Deft get his word in here.
Let's, you know, just for a second here, right, just slow down and talk and act like, you know, at least put on the front that we are fans who actually want a fun, successful and non-polarizing Halo game.
That's already given.
We want that.
We all want that.
Well, see, geez, I don't how much flack Armorlock has gotten. I think 343 would be borderline insane to put it in Halo 4. I don't know what they would be thinking. Like, do you really think the majority of the Halo population wants that in Halo 4?
Probably not.
I don't think any of us are in the position
to say what the majority of the online population wants, because for some strange reason they never really behave the way I want them to behave. Like in Halo 3, they voted in AR starts on Valhalla. I don't understand the mindset of those people. So I'm not going to say they don't want Armorlock, because it's a weird warped sense of view. I think they might want it.
You make a good point. Dust, were you one of the people who agree with me that I know lots of the community leaders, we were all for Bloom, and there's this huge outlash on it. I was like, oh, Bloom, this is horrible, whole random, crappy thing. I'm like, it's fine, just time your shots. So that's another one of those things I never really understood the community.
I mean, in terms of Bloom, yeah, there's a certain luck aspect to it, but there's also a certain skill aspect.
Just time it. Like, there's no luck if you time it right.
I think Bloom just makes it a little more realistic, like with the with the current times of the FPS.
Yeah,
I mean, you're spamming a gun like
you're spamming
a gun like crazy. There's gonna be some
crazy. All this pro Bloom.
Well, I think Shishka. I think this was something Shishka said, but Bloom is basically a visualization of what already happened in Halo 2 and Halo 3.
Oh god, not this argument
again. It is a little more extreme. It is more extreme.
On HBO, there was a Bungie employee came out and said the gameplay mechanic of Bloom technically has been in every Halo game, but my counterpoint to that was the actual gameplay mechanic of Bloom is the visual aspect of it in addition to the specific mechanic that happens in the gameplay. So technically, Bloom has not been in every Halo game. It hasn't been in any other Halo game. It reaches implementation of that same gameplay system. It's not the same as the other ones. Bloom is unique to Reach and disgusting.
It is unique. They said that was unique to Reach. The way that the mechanic goes in their engine, the new brand new engine for Reach.
Yeah,
the relation is different.
There is an aspect where the faster you shoot, the more inaccurate you get. But the spread aspect of the Bloom from Reach was definitely elements in the past three games. Like the accuracy is definitely there's a range. It's the range changes as you fire.
Take Halo 3's BR, right? Take Halo 3's battle rifle. Compare it with Reach's DMR, okay? And the reason why Halo 3's battle rifle had the specific spread in the shots that it did have, that basically meant the further you were away from that person, the harder it was for you to hit that person with any sort of accuracy. So someone was saying top of the hill in Valhalla, and they were shooting down at the base, and they were trying to hit you with a BR from top of that hill. Chances are they might hit one shot, if they're very lucky, and that's all. You never had to worry about it. Now imagine we're playing Reach. Valhalla has been disgustingly transplanted into Reach, and you're sitting on top of Valhalla's hill with a DMR shooting down into the enemy base. I guarantee you, I will hit you with every damn DMR shot. And I could not do that in Halo 3. And that's the difference. The BR in Halo 3, the spread was to prohibit long-range combat, and it did so very effectively.
Well, the DMR is a longer-range weapon than the BR is.
But the BR in Halo 3 definitely, the BR in Halo 3 was very, yes, this is the skill thing that I think that it plagues this discussion. You need to really acquire a good skill for that BR.
And
That's not where I'm going. There is the skill to acquire, but I don't think it was a natural skill. It was a skill towards the game itself.
Video game skills aren't natural.
No, just a matter of, and that's what I'm, how I felt about it. That's what the thing. Is that I just, that's why I keep going along with the thing that every game is different. And yes, Reach was different in the way it, you know, you target and you spread and your hit scan, all different. Way different, actually, than anyone. So.
Because Reach also has a better netcode. A fantastic netcode.
Okay, so is Reach the for noobs? Is that what we're, like, as far as, like. No. Alright, I don't want to do this.
I can see where you're coming from, what you're trying to say. It's
kind of that basic, though. Like, well, here's what we're looking at. You got more of a, what's more natural, and then what's more what people are used to. So, Reach was a big departure. I told you this, guys. I defend Reach like it was crazy, because Reach is definitely more of a lot different than we're used to. So, yeah, I tell you, it's going to turn a lot of people off, and it's not going to be what we're used to. And for some people, it clicks, and some people, it doesn't. And I don't know how, I mean, does the sales number tell you that, or because we're Halo fans? But yes, Reach is definitely a big departure. And Reach broke everybody. There's not even a BR in Reach. You cannot even compare. If there was a BR in Reach, then you can compare. The sound of the weapon. The actual weapon on your screen, you look at it, there's a psychological connection. It's not there. There's no BR in Reach. There's a DMR. A weapon you've never seen before.
But let's not kid ourselves. The DMR is supposed to be similar to the BR in function.
Where?
Similar. Not the same, but similar.
Similar?
Yeah.
A replacement?
Technically, the battle rifle is called a designated marksman rifle in... I think it was Contact Harvest by one of the characters. You know, I mean, it is essentially the same weapon, but with obvious differences. It is supposed to fulfill pretty much the same role.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Talking about, now, you know, the fiction's gonna be pushed aside.
Okay, don't go there with the fiction. I was just using it as an example, if you know what I mean, but
the weapon is
supposed to fulfill the same sort of role, isn't it? Like, do you think I'm wrong on that?
No. What I'm saying is the DMR or any kind of mechanic for the video game, the fiction's going to be molded around the mechanics that they can do.
Yeah, ignore the fiction comment there. I was just saying the battle rifle was technically called a DMR at one point.
It
was called a DMR. It was called the designated marksman rifle in the book.
That's why you're here.
Yeah. It's a throwaway comment. Don't worry too much.
No. I wish you were always there. I need that. Yes. Okay. So all I'm saying is it's just the different game dynamic. You know, we could keep going back and forth with how it matters. In different games, across different games. I really feel like we have to segregate it more. And just realize that they are different games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with everything that's happened for Reach so far, would it have been safer to come out with a more Halo 3 stylish game in terms of multiplayer? I mean, would have putting the armor abilities that we see in Reach, making it somewhat more like the equipment that we saw in Halo 3, do you think that would have been a good enough change to make it more playable?
You know, with Reach's multiplayer, I said beforehand, I wanted Halo 3.5. I didn't want... I'm such a conservative when it comes to my Halo. Yeah. Like, I understand the need to innovate and all that and keep up with the times. But to be honest, I'm a staunch Halo conservative. And if they give me Halo 3.5, which is basically just Halo 3 with new maps and Reach's netcode, I would have been the happiest person alive.
Daft has finally found how to integrate politics with Halo.
Look, nobody...
he's a conservative.
The Armorlock Crusaders are the progressives of Halo. It's as simple as that. They're the progressives. They want the game to go in this new direction. The conservatives of Halo want to, you know, like, of course, you keep it up to date technologically.
Well, that's, but that's the Armorlock is something we should accept, and I don't agree with that. I wouldn't even agree. I wouldn't have the same house as an Armorlock person.
No.
Yeah. The perfect one.
I just want to add all this talk about how can they modify Armorlock? How can they fix Armorlock, quote unquote? Here's an idea. Let's just not have Armorlock in Halo 4. How about that?
Yeah, the delete button's always there. You just press it and forget. Don't say anything. I won't.
I mean, they're
guys.
It seems like they're basically starting.
I hope they didn't like start building it. Then they're like, we got that. We're not gonna get Halo 4 till 2013. That's so
I think that was one of the main things I was concerned about during the Halo 4 reveal. I seen Sprint, and they're talking about loadouts, and the first thing I was thinking, oh god, don't bring back Armorlock. That was the first thought when I was thinking about armor ability. Like, don't
you
bring
hate that
back.
Badly?
So, it's not that, it's just they couldn't, Bungie, after 10 years, couldn't introduce something like Armorlock with precision in a way that made everyone happy. City for 3 having less chance of doing so, even though they're coming from a position of refining the element.
What's anything else? What else hated more than Armorlock?
Active camo is second place to Armorlock. I know that, though.
Really? Not just Reach.
I rarely hear people.
I'm talking about
Halo. Reach is active camo because of how much it jams the radar.
I thought that was a nice touch, man.
Now, there you go. Like,
In terms of using it with the armor ability, it makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. You get this, it's a balance. That is a total balance. You know, not total balance.
Well,
I love how
it's weird because the only person that doesn't get affected by the radar jamming is your allied team. You get affected by it, and your enemy gets affected by it. But
right.
Your ally, that's weird.
Wait.
Selective.
You get affected by it. But your team gets affected by it.
So it makes sense if you're going to jam.
No, your team does
radio
not get affected
you
by.
You jam your own team's radio frequency, would you?
No, it jams you. It jams yours. It jams your enemies, but it doesn't jam your teams. If I remember right.
Yeah, so it's a frequency.
Very selective physics.
Yeah. Well, fuck that.
Very selective. Do the team's radars operate on different frequencies? Is that what we're talking about here?
Maybe.
Yeah, so how do the radars work anyway? Do they sound like little pulses? There's no real. There used to be a pulse. Was there a pulse in Halo 1 and they took away the pulse? And this is the static. Oh my god, I'm talking about radar here. No, it's not.
Oh, see, this is what Armorlock does. It makes you go deep.
Well, I mean, this is what people wanted, so this is what they're getting.
I'm just surprised no one's talked about this before.
I think
I'm sure other people have talked about it.
Reach is several years old now.
I mean, I'm sure other people have talked about it. We just haven't talked about that much on Podtacular.
Most of my quote-unquote talking about Armorlock usually happens late at night, usually at the end of a play session, and I'm ranting and bitching a lot about it.
It needs to be recorded, stuff like that.
So basically, really, yeah, with Bungie, with their credibility, and they couldn't make people like Armorlock. How is 343 supposed to? This new fledgling company. And the thing is, they can't, because people have been soured by Armorlock. Like, Armorlock was one thing that made Reach so polarizing.
Yeah. They have an uphill battle. It doesn't make sense why they would take this very disruptive element that the community just simply can't be happy with and agree upon, even after the TU. We still don't like it. Generally, you ask any major community, and the majority of opinion is, oh, we hate Armorlock, so why would they take it forward? Of all the things you're going to take forward, why take a dangerous element like Armorlock that has such a very high potential to be crap, essentially?
So are we basically talking about why did they even think to include
Armorlock? Yeah, hell yeah.
Is that what we're really talking about here? Why would they even think to include it in all their testing, in all the marketing, and everything that they in their checklist of how many abilities do we need to have in the game in order to, make something that's a quality upgrade of a game.
Actually, here's the thought. I imagine there must have been armor abilities on the cutting room floor. It happens with everything, new levels, different ideas that they have. So how that many ideas stuff on are the on the floor, cutting too. Room floor that armor lock should have taken their place? Make that floor? You know what I mean?
Why didn't armor ability make the cutting room floor? Is that what we're talking about?
It sounds
why
like it.
Armor ability really
I mean, this is what it sounds it. Like at this point.
So why didn't armor lock take the place of something else that was on the idea floor, you know, of the cutting room when it comes to armor abilities? Like, what other ideas could they have had?
They just want armor lock to be a quick save kind of thing.
That's when you start recording the podcast now. Start it from right now. Because why did armor lock make the cutting room floor? Start it right now. I don't know. Who knows? Why?
Can you guys name any other games with a similar mechanic? Because I don't really play much other console first-person shooters because I just don't have time. But have you guys ever played another game with a similar gameplay mechanic to Armor Lock? Have you?
No.
Name one game.
What? Say that again.
Can any like name a game with a similar gameplay mechanic to Halo's
Armor Lock? I can't think of it.
Yeah.
Not something that is a constant game changer.
So is Armor Lock the innovation then Bungie might have originally envisioned for it?
I think it just looks cool. I mean, the ground pound.
Well,
hold on. When you saw it in that trailer, remember when he did that? Remember when he pounded the ground? Actually, he didn't pound the ground. He threw something into the ground. I'm sorry.
To be honest, all I liked when I first saw it was jetpack. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I want to be able to move
it's
up and
a
down.
Cool factor.
You know? I was like, you know, that's neat, but meh. But jetpack really got me when they first showed that.
Well, get used to the jetpack.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like a little joke on Halo 2's messages during matchmaking? You know what would be cool? Jetpacks or something like that?
Yeah, joke? Remember that? Oh my god, you remember?
Oh, you're right.
I got some Halo.
Oh, crap.
So.
I'm just thinking back. Imagine how they said down there, you know what would be fun? An invincibility button. Lols.
Say that. What's that called in movies? Forecasting.
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
Foreshadowing.
So, if. I don't know. Do you guys think that having the armor abilities in Reach was a good experiment, or do you think that it shouldn't have even happened and we should have seen something like different types of Halo 3 armor or equipment instead of the armor abilities? I mean, seeing that what we have now, do you think that Bungie was right in trying to test out armor abilities?
Yeah, but shouldn't have got past the testing phase.
I honestly think armor abilities are a misguided attempt to evolve equipment into the Call of Duty loadout sort of thing they were going with Reach. They wanted to make the whole game progressive, so they wanted to give players a unique identity. They want players to be in part with choice as to give them certain roles to fulfill whenever they start a game, because that was the trend of the industry at the time, and even now it's further gone into that direction. So that was, I think, armor abilities were Bungie's response to the general industry trend at the time and trying to take a uniquely Halo approach to it, which was take equipment, which was a almost a uniquely Halo sort of thing maybe, and then try and go further with their own unique sort of implementations of evolving it. And I just think it was misguided because we took something that you had a fight for, that you had a control and dominate to win. It was a reward, and they took something that made you special, and then they made everyone special all the time. And when everyone's special all the time, no one's special, if you know what I mean.
I've heard that in the movie somewhere.
What I think is really interesting is that I don't think, has anybody really complained about spawning with different weapon loadouts? I don't think that's bad. I don't think that's cool. You know, some people, for instance, who's funny as an elite in Invasion, some people prefer the plasma repeater, some would prefer the needler. And I think that is a successful use of that, is filling that role.
Except I disagree, because if you spawn with a sword or shotgun in a small enclosed space, that's crap.
Okay, not including power weapons like that. Like, that one, you can go there. But, like, for instance, the start of Invasion with a plasma repeater or a needler.
Yeah.
Either or.
It's funny, because I think one of Frankie's quotes for Halo 4 is that he said that people won't be starting out with power weapons. So I think they understand exactly why that's crap. That particular possibility of spawning with fire weapons is
never
a really good idea.
You can't spawn.
But yeah, I think it's great. I do think it's great. Imagine if you could start every match. Do you only start with an AR, Timmy, or a BR? How about a DMR? I don't mind that choice. Do you mind that choice? I don't.
Well, that's a skill weapon.
Well,
but if you want to spawn with an AR, be my guest. I'll spawn with a BR.
Right.
We'll fight it out.
And we were kind of talking about this in the MLG show, but with how it sounds like the new quote-unquote armor abilities are in Halo 4, it sounds like you're going to have these things that kind of change gameplay a little bit, but are not as impactful as the armor abilities were in Reach. So one of the things that we kind of speculated on was maybe you have a certain aspect to your Spartan where you can carry a little more ammo, or maybe you can run a little bit faster, or you have a different body build. So you basically, so what if you're a little shorter Spartan, you could run a little bit faster, that kind of thing.
That's not Halo, but we're going further and further away from what made Halo stand out from the crowd, because it was a proper arena shooter. Everyone started out equal. There was advantages in the environment, and you had to use the environment, learn the environment, know the environment, and fight across the environment, control the environment to gain the upper hand, and through skill. Because everyone starts off equal, and skill's the differentiator. And we're moving further and further away from that with things like armor lock, where you just take skill and you chuckle out the window, press pause, we're only stop, and have some tea.
Yeah, you're no longer competing to person, you're competing ability to ability.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I might get lucky with my armor lock here and deflect that rocket. Ha ha ha.
Or you can adapt. And figure it out how to.
No way. Why would I do that? I live in the past. A fear change.
It's not about a fear of change. It's just that the change wasn't thought out well enough. I'm being very blunt here. Armor lock was not thought out, in my humble opinion.
No.
It wasn't thought out to the extent where we are now sitting here debating it, basically. You know, it wouldn't have. It just isn't, because we wouldn't be here.
Well, one thing I'd like to bring up, which has been mentioned in a few other Halo podcasts and things like that regarding armor lock, is in the beta, people bring this up a lot, but in the beta, you didn't really see an abuse of armor lock. Armor lock seemed to work because nobody wanted to be that douchebag who did it. And it was the same thing when I was playing at PAX. We would all be sitting in a circle. They'll be sitting in a circle, there'd be one guy who had armor lock, and everybody would scream. I'm like, what are you doing? Who's using armor lock?
So he wouldn't use it. A smaller place.
I think I can expand a rationale for that as well, that during the beta, we didn't fully grasp the advantages and disadvantages fully of the armor abilities and the limited armor ability that we had at the time and had access to. It's only with time that you learn to exploit things, that you learn the situational advantages of using it in certain times. You know what I mean? It takes time to learn it, learn the ins and outs. So the beta, I don't think the beta was any really good place for us to judge those sort of things, to be fair.
Hmm.
Sorry, I'm a little distracted.
But
yeah, a point I was going to make earlier was a couple of podcasts ago, Keith said, oh, well, you know, it's in the game, like, it's fair game mechanic. Well, see, the thing with that, like I said, first place you start there, that's the developer's mistake. Because, like, trust me, like, you know, online gamers, they're ruthless. You basically, you give the trolls you give people the tools to be trolls and be obnoxious, they're going to use those tools, they're going to abuse them.
Yeah, I'm not shocked at all that people would go into matchmaking, choose armor lock, get their friends to use armor lock just to troll people. I'm not surprised that happens.
Yeah, and I think, like I was saying, people are very sour about armor lock. They really don't, I mean, they just don't want it in the next game. They don't. And, maybe a few do, but the most don't.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that. It's not, it doesn't work. That's what's clear, that the fact we're even talking about this. But it's
I think this armlock in general is such a boring crap idea. Invincibility button. That's the one thing in a competitive game you want. A button that makes you invincible. It's a pause button. Is that the best creative minds of this industry can come up with? Come on.
It's the worst. I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. Like, it could be.
I mean, you can't really just bash Bungie just right out for it, though.
I'm not bashing Bungie whatsoever. I have nothing but utmost respect for them.
Why was it even pass like anything?
It's just
It does have a. It has a.
I mean, there's a certain personality to it, though, as well, that, I mean, you might not necessarily get...
No. What about a strategy? Come on, not even a strategy. You guys are dismissing it. Like, what if it was done the right way? What if it was done with the right amount of time?
Well, that's what I've been trying to get at.
Right amount of... Yes, I know. We're just still not getting there. That's the thing.
But it's so messy, but that's the thing. The original implementation was messy, and the TU was the chance to clean it up. The TU was the chance to clean Armor Lock up. And you still couldn't do it right.
Okay, maybe you can't. Maybe it's really hard you can't. Maybe programming-wise you can't. Maybe it's just too ingrained in the game. You know, maybe it's too... There's too many threats. But also, maybe it's not as unpopular as you think. But obviously, a lot of people are using it because people piss them. But so what? Conform. I'm on the camp.
What do you mean, so what?
Side,
like
work
we're
for
going to
you.
Say we don't like
not
it.
Not be, it's a game. So, I mean, not, you gotta play the game. Everybody else is playing the game. You gotta
figure
it
out. Yeah, but when the game is.
It's a game. If you don't like it.
If it's so, is it that been unfair? And that's what I talked about before, is if the frequency is bad, how frequent is it? If the frequency is bad, then it's flawed.
Well,
enough to ruin my experience for the day.
And well, what playlist?
Day, but I've never seen Sweet before that.
What playlist do you normally play, Green Skull? That you see this happen so often?
Slayers, like a new Super Slayer. I'm actually seeing it more, surprisingly. But Slayer playlists in general.
All right, because I mean, for some of the playlists, you probably don't get it that much. Like
more. Different playlists other than Slayer, like even if it's, I don't even know if it's enabled that much in any other playlist.
I think
that's a good point.
I think like a retrospective point's kind of good to make. Look at Halo 3 that had no armor lock. Look at Reach that did. Which one was more popular? Yeah, connect the dots. Take it.
Armor lock is solely responsible for Reach not being popular as Halo 3. Guaranteed.
Absolutely. when people look back on this, people look back on this series, they're gonna looking at all the Halo games, giving a short opinion of each. They're gonna say to themselves, Halo 3 was a really awesome game. Period. Like that's it. It was a really awesome game because it was. Then they're gonna move on to Reach and be like, Reach was a very good game, but was often ruined by dumb crap like armor lock and to a lesser extent active camo.
Reach is a terrible, terrible Halo game. I'm not afraid to say Reach is
not
a terrible Halo game.
It's not terrible. No, it's not great, but it's not terrible.
Listen, hear me out. Even the most terrible Halo game is still better than 99% of the other games out there. Like, Halo has a very high standard. Very high caliber. I hold them in nothing but the utmost respect. The games are amazing. And Reach is the red-haired buck to his stepchild that no one wants.
The game I love so much. I love Reach. Oh my god, I love Reach.
I don't know, maybe I do like Reach. I play the damn thing almost every night. Like, there's something
I'm not
saying
from the gameplay or anything. I just love all of Halo poured into one honeypot. And I like to pour it on myself while I'm naked.
But the sad fact is, it's things like Armor Lock that whenever Halo 4 comes out, I'll be happy to retire my Reach disc and never touch it.
Who do I know?
I'll still probably play Reach every once in a while.
I don't.
I mean, I still play Halo 3 every once in a while.
I might play the campaign, but I don't think I'll ever want to touch Reach's multiplayer ever again after Halo 4 comes out. I can't see myself wanting to pop myself through that ever again.
And that's fine. You know what? This is let's not. Let's not crucify. There's a lot of Halo games out there. It has nothing to do with the fact that this. I can see. I've said on many occasions, Reach can definitely turn off a lot of people who play in Halo for a long time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, more so. Halo 3 back in the day did polarize the community to a very limited extent, but it was there. People were unhappy with certain aspects of Halo 3, and they were very vocal. They were in the minority at the time, and even though they reached detractors, they're in a higher position than they were last time. But Halo 3 did have its detractors and did have people saying it sucked and stop playing Halo. But I think with Reach, there's a larger percentage of those people. And I think that's just evident from the playlists themselves. There's just less people playing Halo now than there was with the last game. And there's different reasons why you could say that is, but I feel one of the small contributing reasons is something like Armorlock. When you're playing a game and you're fighting around, you're shooting, and then Armorlock just gives you this moment. They're like, oh, stop this. And those mm-hmm. little moments add up.
So, I mean,
Flight Love is so passionate Halo
no kidding.
Player I've ever encountered.
I mean,
I'm telling you this right now.
I mean, you have to.
At any time of the day and night. I'm sorry. I'm discussing
this. I mean, being Bungie and having these Armorlocks in the game, it's definitely possible that Armorlock could have been done in a better way that it wouldn't have caused all this grief. I mean, I think. Yes. I think the timing is one thing, and I think taking from your shields is another.
I don't share your confidence that Armorlock just needs a magical tweak. Because if it needed a magical tweak, they could have done it with the TU, and it would have been brilliant. But considering they had all the time they wanted, they could have changed it in any way they wanted, and they did what they thought was best, and it still didn't work out. I'm not sure there's a magical tweak that can
fix it. I'm sorry. I think we need to come to a point we can all points, maybe one or two or three points we can all agree on to finally end the Armorlock discussion tonight.
I don't think it's going to just end tonight.
Well, we can between us. How about that?
Yeah.
And here's how we do it. We all the points we can agree on. It'll be 3 points. It can't be any more than that because it's just. It doesn't make any sense. What's the 3 points we can agree on as far as Armorlock and as far as Armorlock in
Slightly Life's gonna be like there are no points.
No. And it can't be this. It can't be,
stop
it can't
reading
be
my
no
mind.
Armorlock. It can't be no
I
Armorlock.
Just don't clock.
Say that screen full.
Statistics being the one I don't think you can argue because there's pretty much proof of it. That Armorlock definitely helps reduce the population of Halo.
Right.
I would change that to Armorlock has polarized the vocal Halo community.
Okay.
Is it affecting? Yeah, all right. So
would you
affecting
agree with
every
that?
Facet of your Reach gameplay? Like it made you not play?
Well, just in general. Like lots of people I've talked to, people who just used to be big Halo fans and no longer are. A majority of them I've spoken to have said that. Armorlock is not, they're not fans of that, and that some of the armor abilities in general are not, didn't do it for them.
So, I mean, with
right.
that said, do you
but,
think 3
but
for 3
can play?
No.
You think 3
I'm,
for 3?
I'm specifically talking about people who aren't playing anymore, who were turned off from Halo.
From Halo Reach, because
yeah.
of Reach in Armorlock, or Reach in general, the game, the style of Reach?
Armorlock is a big one I hear, actually.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry.
That brings it to another interesting point, though, is with 343 working on Halo 4, and let's just go ahead and assume they take that out and do something smarter, is there a chance that the people that were interested in Halo before Reach came out, is there any way for 343 to bring those people back into the fold? Or do you think...
I think there's always a chance.
Do you think that with
always a chance.
With Armorlock...
I think the Halo 4 reveal, as limited as it was, it really didn't show us much. But what it did show us, it showed us a couple different things. It showed us that the VR is back. They were trying to remind people that here's the VR for a certain type of fan. Here's the jump height being fixed. Here's the freedom of movement. There's all these different things that people have complained about with Reach. And I think they were saying to people, well, here's this. We're bringing this back. We're bringing this back. The thing about the maps and the campaign spaces being shared, they said, no, the multiplayer is going to be built up separately. So they were ticking off all these boxes of what people wanted to hear. And I think one of the important things is showing Sprint and talking about loadouts. I think that was very important because they wanted people to know we're not going to disregard Reach. Reach isn't something we're going to ignore. We are going to bring back things from Reach because it is part of Halo, like it or not. And I think it was a very clear and bold statement from them to say, well, we're bringing it forward properly. We're not just going back to the trilogy. We're taking the good elements of the entire series, the entire franchise, and we're going to move forward with it. And that includes armor abilities.
Uh-huh. So do you think, I mean, the general consensus has been armor abilities are kind of iffy, and then with armor lock in there, they're just kind of no. Do you think there's a way for armor abilities to be used in Halo 4 that will actually be productive to the game?
Just sprint and thruster packs.
If you take out evade,
that's what it looks like it's going to be. So
for some reason, I have neglected to mention my utter disdain for evade, but let me just sneak that in here now. Take out evade completely. I mean, just do the whole armor lock thing to evade.
I would almost
armor lock, and I'll be happy.
I would almost argue leave evade for the elite class and then leave.
Yeah, leave it for the elites and then take the elites out so that it's gone completely. Yeah, give it to the elites. Definitely. I agree. Give it to the elites, yes.
I mean, we don't know if we'll see elites in multiplayer, but if the elites were in multiplayer, I would say leave the evade to the elites and leave the sprints to the Spartans.
I'd be happy not seeing any other characters, classes in multiplayer.
Well, I mean, it sounds like that's what we're going to get to.
So if you do that, if you do what you just suggested there, sprint for the Spartans, evade for the elites, you're opening a can of worms where the two separate classes, basically, would be playing differently. So maybe that's maybe something we can expand upon. I would welcome that.
And take away the health regen for the elites. I never understood that in Reach.
I'm probably coming across a lot more negative than I probably am. I hate invasion. I hate evade. I hate armor. I just hate everything. I'm so hateful.
Invasion's, well, I thought invasion actually was pretty fun, although it's really not. I don't play it that much, but it's an interesting concept.
It was a waste of resources. It was a waste of time. It was designed for like 16, 18 players or 20 players. And it had this brilliant idea where they wanted to include fire teams, a bigger number of fire teams with even more players per fire team. And they had micro objectives. And it was all this brilliant little thing. And apparently they planned it since Halo 2. Zanzibar apparently was originally designed as an invasion map in Halo 2. Before they took it out, and then for Halo 3, Sandtrap was going to be an invasion map, and they couldn't do it for Halo 3. And for Reach, I think they just kept invasion in, even though it didn't work. I think they were like, no, stop it, we're putting invasion in this time, we don't care if it doesn't work, we're sticking that crap in.
What part of invasion do you think is not good, or do you not like?
Invasion, it is a mess. First of all, it took away from BTB. Look at the two invasion maps that permeate BTB. We have Boneyard and we have Spire.
Well, okay.
The disgusting play spaces that ever existed in a BTB arena. I mean, they don't belong, but for Invasion, they work. You know?
Well, I mean, you have to admit that the map selection for Reach wasn't really that great to begin with.
Exactly. We didn't need Invasion cannibalizing the limited resources that Reach had for the rest of the gameplay. We could have had two brilliant or better, or different BTB maps. Instead, we had Invasion maps. Like, Invasion never really shone until... Was it Breakpoint? Breakpoint Invasion, apparently, is pretty popular. And
yeah, that's actually a really good DLC map for Invasion or anything else, really.
Yeah, but that's post-release, you know? It's like a couple of months, a couple of years after the game comes out. Hey, we finally got Invasion right. too late. No one cares. You know?
Yeah. I think with Spire is, cause it's so, that one end of it where the Spartans spawn at the beginning of Invasion, like, it's so, you know, barren. There's, like, nothing there.
Yeah, there's 90%
and it leads up to the Spire. What they could have done to make the Spire better for Big Team is make a big, like, forge base at that barren end and, like, put, like, some teleporters around the map, which they kind of did in Heavies, actually, and the new BTB Heavies in BTB. The Spire Heavies, it doesn't have a base there, but there's some more teleporters all around the map, so you can get around faster. The
Spire was created, and I can you can just tell by looking at it, Spire was created for a higher player count than Reach has. The map is just too big for the players on it. And
it's like they're trying to mimic Battlefield 3 or something.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was designed, you can, it's designed for
Battlefield
players.
3 came out like way after Reach, but I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, it's maybe Bad Company 2 or something.
And I think Spire and Boneyard are prime examples of why Invasion just doesn't work. It's a boring game type. It was something else. Invasion was supposed to be something that isn't currently. And whatever it was, it might have been brilliant, but Invasion as we have it was just crap.
So are you critiquing?
It was inspired by Badco 2's Rush mode, which is so similar.
So are you critiquing the Invasion game type specifically, or are you kind of critiquing the implementation of it?
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
I'm actually criticizing both, because
I think Invasion could be something that's actually pretty good.
I think it fits in with the theme of Reach, you know, with the whole Spartans versus Elites. I just don't think we've made enough of a differentiation between the two different sides. You know, it's just, the loadouts feel sloppily applied, and you know, I'll just use Sword, I'll spawn down here. And like, even at the start, you had Spartans spawning with DMRs on top of Boneyard shooting down. It was a duck shooting gallery. It was like they didn't think it out at the bare basics, you know. It was just insulting to play it. Like, you look at any other game modes in the Halo trilogy when they've been introduced, they've always been, you know, with the exception of VIP, they've always been refined. They played awesomely. You know what I mean? Like you compare a game of Invasion to, say, Two Flag on any of the on Blood Gulch even. Invasion is just sloppy and doesn't just feel like a polished Halo mode.
So as far as Invasion goes, I hope they do try to bring it back and they do implement it a little bit better. And with them redoing the multiplayer and not really, because I think that was honestly one of Reach's big mistakes, was having the multiplayer maps and the campaign maps so closely tied together.
I think Bungie even admitted, if you watch their legendary commentary and they were talking about doing that, I think even they realized afterwards it was a huge mistake, you know. So I'm happy FIFA 3 aren't doing that. I think anyone doing that after the lessons learned from Reach, like even from a player's point of view, I'm getting sick of the play spaces. You know, you play it through the campaign, and you're playing through a firefight, and you're playing through multiplayer, and you're seeing the same crappy spaces over and over again. Even if they're good spaces, it's just spamming them, you know what I mean, to your attention centers, and it sort of nulls you to them.
So, I mean, in terms of, we got to pull something positive from Reach here, because all we've been doing is critiquing it very harshly this show. I mean, what are the good things from Reach that we can really pull out of it that's not really campaign related, since we're kind of talking exclusively multiplayer?
Yeah.
I mean, the loadouts.
The netcode is the best netcode in the Halo game.
I still want some kind of balance between host-based hit detection and then server-side, because, I mean, there's times where I'm timing a run where I'm running around the wall. Okay, I think I'm clear. Nope. Because of where the person saw me and hit me, I'm dead, even though I was 5 feet behind the wall.
But that happens in every multiplayer game, every online game. The thing is, in Halo 3, that happened to me every few seconds in Halo 3. In Reach, it might happen once or twice in a game.
It's very, very evident in Reach.
Well, coming from a foreign player, I'm foreign because I'm not American. That's where the majority of Halo's player base is. And as a result, I tend to get matched up with a lot of Americans. Happened in 3, happened in Reach. And my overall experience going from 3 to Reach is such a drastic improvement. There is matches in Halo 3 going back, and it's like, how did I even tolerate that? It's night and day difference. You guys may not be able to appreciate it as much as I can, just because I live so far away from the main population center that plays Halo, but the difference to me, I'm so thankful that they nailed it. They nailed it so well.
Yeah, I actually agree. I did find I had a lot more. I really can't recall too many matches in Reach where I was frustrated by the lag. Or in context, if there was ever lag, it was relatively consistent where everyone was lagging and no one really had an advantage. But back in Halo 3, there'd be lag and, you know, the guy lagging would kill everybody because nobody could hit him because he was lagging around. That doesn't really happen in Reach.
I guess that's true.
Can I just make one wee minor exception to the netcode praise? Is the host migration is disgustingly messed up in Reach.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how they got that one minor aspect so totally wrong when they've got everything else so right.
It seems like it's because they're cross-checking every client's information and trying to find a medium ground where they all can...
Yeah. It's like if they had a few more months, maybe they could have ironed that out. You know, it's like maybe the netcode just needed that extra bit of gestation time it just didn't get. It's almost perfect with that minor but very present and very annoying exception.
I mean, because sometimes you would be waiting for an entire minute before the game starts back up again.
I know. That's the thing. And sometimes other players will start ahead of you and you're going, you guys playing the game? Well, I'm still here looking at the screen.
Well, two or three weeks ago, I was like into a point where I missed one complete round of Griffball and then I got dropped in halfway into the second round.
Yeah.
Without even knowing what was going on.
The thing is, it's weird to believe that Halo 3, which is technically inferior and the whole netcode front, had better host selection and better host migration and had less issues. You know, it's just weird. It just seems like something just went wrong with Reach and they couldn't get it fixed in time. And they couldn't fix it post-release.
And it's weird, too, because in a lot of games, I get hosts a lot for some reason.
Oh, you're lucky.
I don't know why.
I'm a weird foreigner in the room who never gets hosts. And I don't deserve it because my connection's generally bad anyway.
Well, I don't deserve it necessarily either because I'm on a wireless connection. I would assume that Bungie would be smart enough to choose a wired connection over a wireless connection.
That's the thing. We don't really know.
Especially when I'm operating on, like, -60 decibels. I mean...
The thing is, I don't understand how Reach selects hosts and why it randomly, in the middle of a match, you might have a brilliant host, and all of a sudden it's like, no, we must switch to a bad host, it's more important, and then you start a game and you'll have a bad host. And it's like, why is it not switched?
And everyone's red and orange bar, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why are they not switch hosts? And then like, the last 10 seconds of the game, host migration, it's like, come on, now! After we suffered through that match!
Yeah.
It's so... uneven, and it's weird. I can't explain it. There's no uniform pattern of behavior the way it operates. It's just random and odd.
Another thing that gets annoying, too, is whenever a game is over and someone rage quits, you have to sit there for a minute or two just...
It does the host migration at the very end of the game as well. How does that happen? Like... The game's over. Let's bugger the hell off, you know?
Yeah. It's like, record the stats and go. Right?
Yeah, that's just, I don't know. First of all, I don't understand why someone would quit at the end of a game. They're just magically intelligent. But the fact that the game is also that was inclined, you know? It's just, I don't understand the game's like, oh, you're special. Let's do a whole special activity for everyone here. It doesn't make sense. It's, why does the game behave that way? When someone quits out at the end of the game should like, stop you, and just end the game for everyone else. It shouldn't do that, but it does. But again, this is minor. This is such a minor complaint. It does affect us. It's annoying.
It doesn't sound minor. It's like... Wrong! Slice of Life makes everything sound like the major complaint. I know it's minor, but he makes it sound like it's a major complaint.
It's a big freaking deal,
He is so passionate.
But also, I'm happy to take the host migration issues with that netcode. And the netcode makes me so happy. I'm happy to take the host migration issues just to keep the netcode.
I couldn't imagine if you had, like, your girlfriend did something wrong and You were having like a heart to heart about what you like right, what you like wrong. Like, well, you know, you do this thing and 4 hours later, but it's still a whole thing. Like, don't get too upset about it.
I don't like it, but I'm telling you, but I love you.
Right.
I think we nailed you.
No comment.
I love his life since I've interviewed him.
Oh boy. So I mean, what else would you pull away from? Well, because we kind of bashed the netcode more than we praised it. But is it? I mean, is what else? Because I mean, personally, I don't think armor abilities is necessarily a bad idea. I think the way that it got implemented in Reach hurt the opinion of it to a certain degree.
Well, I think the Spartan knew the arm ray was a good start. That was nice, you know. Everyone likes the arm ray. Yeah,
I like the arm ray.
Yeah, the arm ray's nice. It was a nice start to the idea of customization. It was.
But I have one little tiny itty bitty complaint with the armory.
I don't want to complain. I honestly don't want to complain about the armory. Can I just pretend like the armory's brilliant and I love it? Please, just let me pretend. Oh,
if you don't have a problem with it, then sure.
Yeah, I honestly don't have much of a problem with it.
Yeah, the armory.
Much.
I mean, it's
Wiley is like a ticking time bomb. The more he talks, the more he comes up to himself. But I don't like this part. Like, oh yeah, this is great. This is great. This is great. Oh, and this, I love this. Like, the more positive, the more likely a negative will come.
Yeah, that the scubs have just been being online for for hours. That just happens.
Yeah.
They eventually say something. He regrets.
But I do think the armory is a good start to the idea of customization.
Yeah.
I think they need to develop it further, and I'm happy to see them develop it further. So I think it's a good start. That's
I think
not
we
harsh.
Could all agree these are all good ideas, but they need to help.
Yeah. Do we even want to touch ranks?
No.
I think we probably want to stay away from that one.
No, I...
No, ranks aren't too bad. I just feel they're kind of just
they're not,
cosmetic.
They've been fine. I don't hear anybody
complaining
about
scene, them. Competitive scene is an outrage.
That's always going to be.
I mean, if you listen to the previous show where we talked about MLG, I mean, they definitely want the older rank system back. And
well, it's, the thing is, the problem with the older system was it was trying to gauge your actual skill, and people seen it as something that they could aim for, you know what I mean?
Well,
if someone tells you you're a skill 37, if someone analyzes your performance and you're 37 and you're like, well, I want to climb to 50, the system's not designed to let you do the climb, but people felt rewarded whenever they did the climb. And I think that's understandable to want that kind of system. So I would like to see a system like Reach where it is largely cosmetic. The more time you put into it, the more you can show for what you've done like that. But also, I think there is space for a more competitive sort of thing where you can climb and see progress skill-wise and have some kind of skill progression, some kind of visual skill progression that you can ascend that rewards you for your performance. I think there's definitely room for
it. I mean, why not have the actual like skill level ranks in there and then have another ranking thing where you have the XP and the credits that you can buy the armor stuff and show off that kind of thing, but you also need some kind of visual representation of your skill level, how well you actually play.
Can I just do one wee minor thing here whilst I have this opportunity?
Just a little thing, don't worry.
I'm not one to take advantage of an opportunity like this, but I someone asked Mr. MLG player T-squared or whatever his name is, someone asked this pro gamers what his opinion was of something like that, and he said that about ranks and stuff. He was blabbering on what I wanted for Halo 4, and he said something about Reach, and he's saying that there's no skill based matchmaking in Reach, and basically he was saying that he implied that there was no true skill, like you don't get matched up with other people, according to skills. So a noob could walk into a playlist and play against someone who's very experienced in that playlist. And the guy T-squared was, T-squared, but yeah, the guy's talking out of his arse. He completely ignored the fact that Reach uses true skill just because the true skill rank is hidden. You don't see your true skill rank in Reach the way you did in World 3.
But it's not implemented.
T-squared doesn't know that the true skill system exists.
Yeah, he thinks it doesn't exist in Reach. He basically came out and said there's no skill-based matchmaking in Reach. And that's,
He knows that true skills exist. Is that what you're saying?
He basically said that someone can go into a playlist brand new and get matched up with someone who's very experienced, and that won't happen with true skill functioning as it should.
Yes,
and that does happen, though. It's happened to me
before. But those are irregularities outside. It's a lot more common because the player base itself is small. There's a smaller pool of players.
No, the way that Reach is done, it's a little bit more social than Halo 3 was.
There is an underlying
true skill aspect to Reach, but it's...
Exactly, but the true skill is still there. No matter what you can say for errors, criticisms. But you can criticize it fairly. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying true skill is present. And whether it works or not, it's still there.
It's still there, yes. Wait.
It's there to an extent.
It's not as prevalent
as it is in Halo 3, but it is there to an extent.
No, it's there as 100%.
It's more prevalent in Reach than it is in any other game. They find it tuned it more.
I have noticed that lately, 90% of games I play, I team up with inheritors. If that means anything, I don't play really good.
That has nothing to do with true skill, though.
But inheritor's not a skill.
But I see true skill working every single time because I have a group of friends who are better than me. Whenever I play with them, I play with these guys who kick my ass. Whenever I play by myself, I get people who are more on my level. And that's because of true skill. True skill works.
Right. Hold on. Let's take a step back here. First of all, what did T-squared say? He said that true skill doesn't work. Is he aware of true skill?
He implied that there was no skill-based matching when it comes to Halo games in Reach. He basically said someone can walk in brand new and have no skill profile and get matched up against the best, basically. Because that means that there's no skill-based matchmaking at all.
No, that's not true because there is true skill.
It's not true.
Yeah, he was wrong. He was wrong on one.
Yeah,
he said.
Well, that's scary to me because that's even why we're still having this discussion. You guys know about true skill, right?
He does spurt that kind of stuff out without thinking, though. I'm pretty sure he's aware that true skill's in there.
If we're talking about Mr. Squared, yes, Mr. Squared actually is a little naive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he will say things without thinking. And that's fine. He's known to do that. But people listen to him.
People listen to this airhead talk about stuff he clearly doesn't understand.
No, that's very naive. And yes, you should be called out on it. Yes.
I just want to take the opportunity to call him out on something he clearly got wrong. It's a wee minor point, but the point is people listen to him and people will believe that crap. And I just want to clarify that point.
Slightly live, if I actually caught that tweet, I would, and I follow him too. If I'd have caught that one, I would have called him out.
It was a tweet. It was an interview for some website.
Which I haven't read yet, but...
Yeah, I just got another... Actually, he just tweeted just now. Hold on. 130 Halo passes.
It was an interview for some website, a pro gamer's view on Halo 4, or some crap problem. EGM, one of those fantastic journalists.
So long ago with this tweet.
Possibly GameSpot. But in my personal experience, true skill is not as evident as it was in Halo 3. By a pretty substantial.
Halo 3 was good. Halo 3 was the only.
In Halo 3, I got matched up a lot more evenly than I have in Reach from personal experience.
I think it's because of the player pool. I think you need a large. The larger the player pool, the better true skill works.
Because
Reach has a lower pool of players and has a billion playlists with an even further subdivision of player groups, you're going to have. Worst true skill matchings just because of an overall smaller player pool.
Speaking the truth right there. There you go. right there. So you have a larger, yeah, Halo 3 was definitely your what does Bungie always talk about? Quality games, right?
You are missing the visual feedback, though, of...
No. Forget about that.
Yeah, forget about the visible rank. Quality is something that
needs to be there.
Forget about the visible rank. It still exists. You just don't see it.
Quality matches.
Wait, no. Whoa. Where do you see it? Where do you see the skill level?
You don't. It's hidden in Reach. It's completely invisible to the player. But it exists.
But the competitive players are the ones that want that visual.
Yes, they. No. Of course they want it. Of course they want it. They want to put your trophies in your face.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about this EPing thing with MLG, and I've got a bigger one than yours.
And that's the worst thing for gaming and multiplayer is having, because all it does is induce.
I don't know if it's the worst thing. I think there's room for it. I think there's room. They have your skill measured in a way that you can compare to the other people. I think there's room for that.
Yeah, but they're tweaking it.
But
in
I'm not
way.
Sure.
No, it's better.
I'm
it's
not
good
sure
now.
If I direct translation. A direct translation of your true skill rank is the way to do it, because true skill rank is not meant to move. When you get locked into true skill, you're supposed to stay at whatever you're locked into. And that's not something that can be progressive, because you can't move up or down. You move up or down with very small. But you can get better, but you're not going to get better by any significant degree.
But you always should see it to yourself, not be able to show it to anybody else. Let you see your own.
If you're 12, if your true skill rank is 12 out of 50, you're never getting 50. You know what I mean? You're never. You might get 13, you might get 14, but you're never getting 50. And the problem is, people want to see that improvement. People have this feedback thing where they want to see themselves improve. And if you get stuck in a 12 and you play 100 games and you might move to 13, you're going to think there's no progression there at all. So you're going
to
stop playing.
Yeah.
And that's something that needs to be addressed. Because a proper skill-based thing, people want to see a progression in it. And true skill does not offer that level of progression.
So a
direct translation of true skill is not appropriate for that system.
No.
So I don't agree with MLG wanting the true skill from Halo 3 back, because I don't think it's appropriate.
I agree. You need to have, you want to have some kind of visual notification.
Yeah, you do. Everyone does, because everyone likes the Eagles being strong.
On
Come
a
on.
Personal level, I don't think, like, remember, let's make it more simple. Everything has gotten way more, there's way more algorithms thrown on top of everything right now. So, I'm standing up, by the way. Alright? I've been an Xbox Live member since the beta. And all I could...
Oh, you beat me. You're one of the few.
I'm gonna beat you. So, since then, like, the comparison, the Xbox Live, everything, you know, it's all going great. Everybody's to be able to compare their achievements and stuff. That's great. Another layer that was added on. Oh, thank you very much. Since that's just exploded everything. So when you could see everybody's number of what you are when you see them before the battle.
Yeah.
Do you remember those lobbies? Do you remember those Halo 2 lobbies? Do you remember the basura, the crap, the people used to talk and had no prevalence on your skill whatsoever. And you wanted to really be represented, didn't you? Did you have to argue it consistently? Did you have to argue that you were actually that good? You know, do you remember that?
I remember that.
Do you want to take that and just put it in a recycling bin and just throw it away and just say, look, there's a better system now, right? There's a better mathematical system to show me how good I am right now. And they're definitely better than they are.
So the way it is in Reach, though, isn't there. It's just not
there. The only truth is, people don't want to know how good they are exactly, because the thing is, we don't really measure up that well compared to other people. That's the honest truth. I'm not that good compared to all. I don't want to know that. I want some system that says, oh, you start off small, and then you grow like a butterfly in a cocoon. And aren't you a brilliant player? That's what Colin.
Yeah, but I would argue there's probably just as many people that are saying the opposite, where I want people to see my skill rank.
No, but they only want to see it as good. Deal. They don't want to see it as bad. They don't want to see that.
The reason why Halo 3 was such a bad thing, because how many times did people create new accounts, level them to 50, and then sell them to some stupid kid? You know what I mean? That happened all the time. Because people just wanted that big giant 50 penis, you know what I mean? People wanted that. It was a status symbol, you know what I mean? Oh, you're not 50, scrub, go away, get your 50 and come back and talk to me. That was the crap that was going on. It was a thing that you needed to have to be part of the social, part of the elite club of elite pro Halo gamers. And if you didn't have a 50 and you weren't just good enough, I don't want that crap ever to happen again. Like, Reach did one good thing, and that was eliminate the selling of accounts. Because that was disgusting in Halo 3. People were selling accounts left, right, and center. These stupid 12-year-olds who would buy them to impress their friends. You know, there was
I think
black
that can be combated.
Yeah, there's definitely a black market for it. And Reach, one of the best things Reach did was take that black market and piss off and destroy it completely. And I'm happy for that. I think anyone who wants to see the industry grow proper would like to see those kind of black, shady markets of people doing crappy stuff with games and making money out of it just disappear completely.
Yeah, I mean, I do like having my Halo fans all in one place. I don't know how to respond to that. I just like, that seems like some evil, twisted mustache.
I don't know. I know from my point of view, I kind of have an opposite feeling of what you're saying, because with Reach and having the ranking system as it is, I really don't feel compelled to play as much. Where in Halo 3, I have a 38. I was playing my heart out to get to a 40. There was a reason for me to keep on playing Halo 3, and I don't have as much of a reason to play Halo Reach as I did for Halo 3.
Except to get armor.
I haven't been frustrated with a Halo game like I have in Halo 3, where you would get to that next rank and you're so close to getting to the next one of teams and you lose
one game. I've never had that before.
I just quit it.
But no, I understand that those were good times. I'm not saying they weren't.
I mean, you lose one game and it doesn't affect you that drastically. It's when you lose a lot of games in a row.
I would just drop straight down
levels. We can have that back. But you know, we can have that value of a match. We can get that back. We just don't need to directly tie it into True Skill. There are other ways of presenting your skill and putting it out there. True Skill, all True Skill should ever be used for is matchmaking, matching you up with people who are just as good as you. And that's what True Skill should be used for. It should be in the background doing its thing, and you should never see it. You want to do a whole skill thing and have numbers.
But I want to know how to compare to other people, though, outside the game.
Yeah.
But don't use True Skill for that. I just don't think True Skill is that.
But if that's the way that Halo is measuring it, then that's the way it should be displayed. Right?
But then you get into the Halo 3 situation where you have those awesome moments where you're fighting for your next number, and then you lose a match and you drop a number, and oh crap, that's the most annoying thing ever. Then you finally get your 50, or you finally get your 45, or your 40, or your 30. You still have that secondary black market aspect where it's 50 or nothing. I'll get the 50 for you on your account. You pay me some money. You mean those come hand in hand.
Right. And well, I mean, I'm sure there's
easily.
If it wasn't as easy to get to 50, I think that we wouldn't have had as big of a problem with that in Halo 3.
Look at Halo 2. I missed out on Halo 2's days. I missed out on the glory of Halo 2. A lot of people keep saying it was brilliant, and I assume that they were telling the truth, but I missed out on it. But a lot of people are saying that back in the Halo 2 days, people had never seen 50s because that high skill ceiling was so high. There was very rarely you ever encounter someone who was just that genuinely good. So maybe we could have a Halo 3 system, but just maybe not have it as stupid as Halo 3 was, where everyone was a 50, you know?
Right.
Just
no, that I can agree with.
Yeah, because I think there's room for it. You know what I mean? I do think there is room for what we all want. We just don't want to have the baggage that comes with it. You know what I mean? We don't want all the bad stuff. We want the good stuff, but it's not easy to decouple it. But definitely, I think someone suggested, and I think, well, maybe that could work. Because if you hit that 50 is the highest you can go. And if everyone's hitting that highest you can go, it then becomes the de facto standard. So maybe increase it to a point where people rarely hit 50.
You guys are just talking like, you know, RPG stuff. Like you want this.
We need to increase the rank cap for Reach.
We need to add
10 more ranks in there.
Reach doesn't have a rank anyway, so there's no point in increasing the cap for something that doesn't exist.
Yeah. All
right.
Well, by the way, since we're talking about this, do you mind if I just say something about Arena? Because that was Reach's response to Halo 3's rank, and the whole playlist and online environment changed with Arena, because ranked and unranked was the way the whole online environment was set up, and that all came tumbling down with Reach. They said, no, we're going to do it with Arena, and that's where people will be measuring their stats and measuring their skill, and then it didn't turn out that way, and no one cared at all. Do you remember the pre-release Fidox? We had Bungie guys saying, oh, look at me, I'm so-and-so, and you're so-and-so, look at my stats. And they thought that this is the dude bros were going to latch onto this, the MLG players were going to latch onto it, and although the ranked fans were going to latch onto it, and it never happened.
No.
I think the Arena is one of the most public failures of Reach, because you just go on there.
You don't even have a chance to establish yourself. It's 2 weeks and it's done.
I don't. Yeah, it's so silly.
There needs to be some kind of like rank that.
Arena scared me the away.
It's
like,
continuous.
Immediately.
It's so silly. It has all these preconditions, and then they change the preconditions. So you go in there, oh, you have to play 5 games.
But dude, you gotta be at that competitive nature.
Play 5 games a week.
Why you can't
play
even?
Play 3 games a month. I was like, I don't even know what the hell I do to get
measured. I'm gonna stop this right now. Slightly Live, you're not in that competitive nature to even compete in the Arena. You're not.
Excuse me, I can tell you right now.
You're not that competitive.
I have my moments.
Maybe they might be right now.
Maybe.
Maybe you should go to. I don't know. Arena definitely. I thought Arena just catered to a certain crowd.
I think Arena catered to some singular Bungie employee's idea of the perfect online system, and the rest of the world disagree with them.
They almost had, it was, I did. You know what, to your, I think this may be where you're going, like, why was Arena created? Arena was created because you have to create some
competitive. You have your social and your social.
Anti-social environment. just like,
it was supposed to be an evolution. The way I thought it was, the way they described it was an evolution of ranked. This goes beyond ranked. It goes beyond singular games.
Well, I didn't even.
This idea of seasons.
I was just going to kill people.
Well, yeah, exactly. I didn't even get the aspect of it when they announced it. And I didn't even get the aspect after it got released. It was
supposed to be a historical record of your skill. It wasn't just from game to game. It was month to month, season to season. Like baseball stats or some weird crap I never really cared for. And like, he's saying, well, look at my historical stats. I was a this and this season and next season. And that never ever appealed to me ever, but I could see where they were trying to go for it. It was supposed to be a longer term. It was supposed to give more meaning to your account. So like in Halo 3, you could level an account to 50 in a playlist and sell it. But with Arena, you couldn't do it that fast. It was supposed to give more meaning to your individual account so that you wouldn't and couldn't pawn it off, basically. That was what it was supposed to be, I felt, at least. And I just felt that it had it bummed out.
Well, maybe if they do it in Halo 4, they'll do it better.
If they do it in Halo 4, they're just going to be putting Armor Lock back in it because it's going to be stupid. They're not doing Arena 4. They're not. That's like putting Armor Lock back into Halo 4. Why would they do that? Why would they take?
Well, there needs to be some kind of
failure.
There needs
to stick back in?
I mean, for the competitive people, there needs to be some kind of visual representation of their skill level.
Go back to ranked. Like we were just talking there with.
Like what about doing some kind of combination? Like you have your player rank that you can get. With a combination of skill and XP that if you're not that good, you can still level up with XP, but also have that skill number represented out there.
Yeah, I think I mean,
absolutely.
I've been suggesting something similar
for quite time. So if you're highly skilly ranked, every piece of XP you get might be a little more.
Yeah, Halo 3 had something similar with its ranks. Like, you could be a general, okay? Level 50, you hit a general, but then it had like a 5-star general, and the stars represented how many games you played. So in your account would just be a naked general, and a proper player would be a 5-star general, because
For Halo 3, there really should have been like a minimum game count that you would
there
need.
There was, but it was so low it didn't take
much time. Okay, yeah, it was too low, sorry. I guess that's right, there was one, it was just too low.
So I think there's middle ground to be found with skill and with just time played and matches played. If they can just find a better middle ground for the combination of both, I think it could work.
All right. We really didn't get to your 3 points, did we, Keith?
Oh, we got one. I remember we got one about Armorlock polarizing the community, was it?
I guess. That was kind of already an established fact, though. Green Skull, you're kind of quiet.
I'm multitasking. I'm setting up my capture card here. Some filming today.
All right. Are you going to record some Armorlock stuff?
I'm going to just go into a game and just insult everybody who Armorlocked. What are you doing?
Have you listened to the podcast, you asshole?
You're not clearly not from the internet.
So, I mean, did we ever answer the question of what we could change about Armorlock to make it effective or at least bearable?
No, we're not developers. We can't.
Get rid of it.
Oh, come on. Well, we've already made suggestions.
Race is not an option.
Lower the time it takes you can be inside Armorlock. Make it more skill-based. Make it more situational-based where you can't always go into it. There's a million and one things, but we can just keep throwing shit at the wall until something sticks. Like, ultimately, they could just keep it in there and do some changes that they think will work, but if it remains to be seen. How did Armorlock get through the playtest originally?
Is something like that you just leave to customs, and then if it works out, you can integrate it into matchmaking later, or?
No. I don't know.
Provide a solution.
In my honest opinion, the way Armorlock was implemented, it's broken. But I don't think Armorlock in and of itself is necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you had invincibility in Halo 3. You only saw it in customs. But I think that if Armorlock and some of these other armor abilities that people don't like was tweaked or tested with a little bit more, that they could actually be aspects of Halo that people can be.
Honestly, dude, I think it's just okay with. I just think it's a bad idea. It's like the flare in Halo 3. It was just
stupid.
It was just stupid. And the difference is, Armorlock just happens to make people mad and angry and stop playing the game. So it's even more stupid than the flare. You know, it's just a bad idea. There's got to be a million more brilliant ideas out there that they could use and implement that just isn't Armorlock. And why not give the other ideas a chance? You know, there's an unlimited well of creativity there. Tap into it. Give us something more creative. Something more Halo. Something we will not all disagree about.
Yep. That's the reason why we're here. It actually is. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Armorlock is a problem.
And you also said you had an issue with
a rift. I think the most. What?
Yeah, big rift.
I think it's the fact that we're even doing this, that we even had a show on this, even after this many years, and years we're talking about since the game launched. It's a big rift.
Feels just like yesterday.
Armorlock is definitely a big rift.
Yeah.
So yeah, why bring it to Halo 4? Why would they not want to minimize the risk, you know, with the community? That's especially true. After the feeling of goodwill, because everyone loves FIFA 3 right now, because they're making the right noises, they're saying the right things, they're trying their best. You know, they're not perfect. They are making mistakes every now and then, and they do get called out for it. But they're trying their best, and I think if they bring Armorlock in, they're just making their job harder for themselves.
Yeah, well, right. It won't be the same implementation, I bet, if they did. All right, let's be realistic. I don't think Armalock. We can't think Armalock's going to make it in there. I think all of us are pretty in touch. If it's in there, there's a severe number problem we're not realizing. You know, there's a bias or a population that has an ear that we don't know about. And why would we know about it?
I've yet to hear anyone give me a good reason why Armorlock should stay in this whole conversation that we've been having. No one's come up with, hey, well, Armorlock's good because, and it's brilliant because, you know, there's no real meaty argument for it to remain.
I know why he's good, because I'm bad at Halo and I'm scared, so I like to press it so I can't. Dude.
Well, exactly. I use Halo. I use Armalock mostly. I am a big, I don't know. I use Halo.
Slightly Live Armalock is hating you right now.
Yes. No, he knows this. I know this is. No, he knows I use it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly think there is a level to where Armorlock could be used.
I use the tools.
Way. Granted, there's not really much evidence to support me on that, but I do feel that there is a balance somewhere that Armorlock could be used, yes, and not be a big pain. To
the Storm is with me on that. Yes. There is the potential.
Granted,
mechanic.
The way I see it, it's like saying, well, sometimes there's good points about cancer. Sometimes cancer can have side benefits which are beneficial.
No. Did we go there?
Now we're equating Armorlock to cancer.
See, that's how bad this is. See, I would like, I could, it doesn't, like, I would figure out another way.
Well, I can make that comparison to cancer Armalock? Because I play Halo Reach despite Armorlock, knowing that it's there. And I smoke despite knowing cancer's a possibility.
Yeah.
So it's exactly. like I'm doing this to myself.
Exactly. But that's the thing. I use Armalock because I know how much people can't
bear to go up against it.
No. I'm waiting for one of you guys to say it. Because you can't offense or defense against it. You don't play it right. Well, nobody does.
You can. If you know how to use Armorlock and Armorlock isn't being abused by a team, you can use Armorlock effectively and you can combat Armorlock effectively.
Use the tools they gave you. I'm going to quote I love Armorlock. It's effective when I use it and I know how to counter people using this.
I mean, I would almost say that if you had a Team Fortress-like thing where only one person could use Armorlock, one person could use Jetpack and stuff like that, then it would definitely be balanced in terms of...
Oh, but that makes sense. That's almost as if they would... And we'll think about
this is purely hypothetical. This is purely, purely hypothetical, and I would not want this to ever happen.
It's like it's almost like you're thinking about it.
I think we can agree. I'm just saying, it's finding out where they live, going to the house, and breaking their Xbox.
I'm just trying to say there is an aspect to Armalock that does work, and isn't totally abusive to the game.
It's not that bad. If it totally broke the game.
It is severely broken in certain aspects.
It's not severely broken. If it broke the game completely.
Armorlock was originally severely broken and then they slightly less.
They broke it.
Everybody in this room is still playing
broke
it. Reach. Everybody in this room is still playing Reach, right?
I agree with Slightly Live in terms that, yes, Armalock is broken, but I agree with Keat in terms that there are certain aspects of Armalock, and if it was tested to a greater extent, it could have been more balanced.
Yes, and that's all I'm saying.
I agree that it's just, right now, Armalock is a flesh wound, and the TU was a band-aid. You're going to need a lot more tweaking. They fix it, you know what I mean? That's a lot more than what's been currently done. And a lot more effort will have to go into it. They get right it. I don't even think it's worth the effort, to be honest. You know, just let the guy die, bring in the next
page. You talk about a future game. But this is what they gave us for the time being. make it work for you.
I don't want to think about the time being. I want to look forward. I want to look towards Halo 4. I want to look forward to it, you know?
It was that bad for you? See, that's the thing. Maybe it was that bad for some people.
But it's not just that
but
one thing.
But it's not. I know you're playing Halo
doesn't
Reach.
Exist. Armor Lock does not exist in a vacuum. It is Reach. Reach and all of it. I want to just move on.
Is Armor Lock that bad?
Yes.
It seems like the consensus tonight is yes, it is that bad.
It hurts.
But not that bad. We're still playing.
I still play. Yes.
Well, there definitely is a smaller population playing.
I mean, you know what that needs to be? There needs to be an Armor Lock free playlist.
Well, there are.
There
are. Stick to things like SWAT and
I'm sure there's problems with that. You know what, guys? I'm sorry. I'm beaten down over the years. I'm just beaten down.
No. I mean, it's not like we're like chewing down each other's throats.
No, and I think this is the most intelligent and greatest discussion ever about video games. I love it.
Understandable.
Say that again, Green Skull. You kind of got drowned by Keith there.
Because you're one little tiny thing, Keith. And, you know, if you're one little tiny thing, you gotta rant on about it. You gotta make sure that tiny problem is known. It's very important. You're doing a very good job of that.
I do?
You're taking After Slightly Live over here.
Well, I could do that on a nightly basis, because Slightly Live is Mr. Passion, I tell you. He's what is so awesome about the Halo universe.
What are the aspects, I'm sure?
It drives. It's perfect.
So Slightly Live has the multiplayer side, and Grim Brother 1 has the campaign and the lore.
I like to claim it's something, at least, like Rube Goldberg's. Can I have that?
You got Forge.
Yeah. I want to fight Grim
Brother. And I got the podcast that brings us all together.
I'll fight Grim to the death, Kirk and Spock style, over the campaign.
Ooh.
Wow. Oh, you guys need some time.
Oh goodness. All right.
I want Armor Lock to be an active reload.
Oh,
in Halo 4.
No.
And I want more than ever, especially after tonight.
Infinite Armor Lock.
Armor Lock in Halo 4.
Actually, I have this wee suggestion for a new game type. Following the successful and innovative game type in Halo Reach, it's called Hot Flag. The flag, you can play it in one flag or two flag variants. The flag will randomly explode if you're carrying it. It will randomly explode if you're returning it. And it will also randomly explode if you're just walking past it. Hot flag, guys. You guys,
I like
know
that.
How awesome this is.
See, somebody's coming out of the shell. See, this is the Slightly Live I'm used to.
Really, you want hot potato flag?
Hot flag, baby.
That would be awesome, actually. Well, that's all that. We wish we had the tools. Yeah. Imagine that in a development system. Yeah.
If hot potato can actually exist, hot flag can. Okay, there's room for it.
True.
Sure,
yeah.
True.
Yeah, logical. Logical.
I'm gonna go ahead and say we shouldn't have that. Nobody. I'll be the one here to say that.
I have been emailing Frankie every day, every hour on the hour hot flag, and he still hasn't responded, so I think he's listening.
Something tells me he's not.
Oh, God.
Oh, Halo.
All right. I think we're pretty much done for the night. We've been on here for almost 2.5 hours.
I'm all riled up over Armor Lock, and I'm going to play Halo Reach and get mad at people.
I have it loaded up right now. I cannot wait to play.
Man.
We should join up, man.
We should play some games,
yo. I'll be all like, you know what? That was effective use of Armor Lock. Good job, opponent. That was a great good job. You deflected that rocket.
I did not
miss that, Joe.
Yep, playing online brings out your true colors, your podcast right now.
You know, I can't load up Reach and play by myself anymore. I just get so angry at life and everything. I have to be with other people so I can vent.
Oh, God. Dude, I cannot... Dustorm.
Uh-huh.
Shut the shit off.
Well, I'm trying to get there. You guys keep on interrupting, so... time to wrap up the show.
The most spectacular host of hosts.
I would not say that. I would not say that, but
the best podtacular host with the name Duststorm.
The most.
That doesn't even say anything.
He's like the planet Saturn. But he's also tall. Is Saturn tall?
No, Saturn's not tall.
Saturn's like not tall.
How can a planet? Never mind. Never mind. This show is
good at orbiting people.
If you guys have comments on any of the things that we talked about tonight, because we definitely did not stay on topic solely with Armorlock. We delved into many more.
If you thought we would, then you're an. You have to mark this one explicit.
I have a list of about 20 bleeps right now.
Add one more. F*** you.
As I was saying, if you have any comments or ideas about what you think about Armorlock or any of the aspects of Reach that we talked about, feel free to send us an email, submissions@poddacular.com, and I will think about reading them on the next show. wow. Okay. Also, check out our website, podtacular.com, and while you're there, check out the forums, where we actually have quite a bit of people on there just talking about some random things. With Halo 4 coming out, we have our own discussions aside from Waypoint. So make sure you go over there and sign up. We also have our beta forums that you can participate in and be a part of shaping Podtacular history, where I'm actually working on the theme right now, and hopefully we'll have a majority of it done by the end of the week. So I would appreciate all your guys' critiques and comments on what I'm doing over there with the visual themes, the icons, and all that stuff. You can find that at beta.podtacular.com/forums. We also have our listener voicemail, which is not really that active anymore in terms of we're getting many callers, but we do still have it. And if you want to send something in and actually have your voice be heard on the show, that's the way to do it. And the number for that is 206-888-HALO. That's 206-888-4256. And you can leave anything from a random frag to maybe a funny tale that you have in Reach, or any of the comments that you have on Armorlock that you want to rant on for 15 minutes that we would probably not put in the show because it's that long. But if you have something short to say, maybe that's 2 or 3 minutes, go ahead and call in and leave a message. We also do have a PayPal, so if you want to help out with keeping Podtacular up and running, most of it comes out of pocket, but we do get the occasional person that comes by and drops 10 or 20 bucks on the site. So for the people that do that, we thank you very much for being a part of Podtacular, and if you like what you hear, feel free to donate and participate in our discussions.
If Podtacular ever dies, I'll just throw 20 bucks that way.
Well, that is a wrap for us, ladies and gents. Thanks again to Old Regime, who had to drop out early, along with Daft Link. And thank you, Great and Slightly Live, for making it on the show.
Yay.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for torturing us, audience.
Torture you.
Well, I can end this on a good note by helping you out here, Duststorm, and saying, peace out, mother bleepers. What?
Thank you. Thank you.
There you go. I'll do that in the future.
Thank you.
That's right, Green Skull. Nice.
You're right. Yeah.
And thanks to Keat for kind of being our pseudo backup co-host.
Whatever you say. What you said.
pseudo backup co-host. He's the guy that I just kind of get on Skype and it's like, hey, you want to record? And he's like, sure. Or, nah, I'm too busy.
Thanks for belittling me.
Well, that's true.
I'm always there. Yeah, I'm that.
Your words, not mine.
Yes, I know.
You need to put a better picture of yourself when you present yourself to other people.
I'm assuming
you're kind of belittling.
Recording now.
Successfully portrays him.
I don't know when it is.
Anyways, okay, next show we'll be talking about whatever comes out in Waypoint, and it'll probably be a short one. We'll probably have another show coming up that will actually talk about what we want to see in terms of content in Halo 4. We kind of touched on that a little bit when we first got our Halo 4 news, but we want to kind of have a centralized discussion on Halo 4 features that we would like to see. So that'll be coming up probably within the next week or so. And we will have a special Machinima guest coming on, I think either this week or next week. A Machinima group actually emailed us and wanted to be on the show, so you can expect that. And I'll post more information on podtacular.com when that time comes.
That's all we gotta do? We just gotta shoot you an email? You wanna be on the show?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yes! I'm in.
That does not mean you can start spamming me with emails.
Oh, you have no idea.
You know what? Spam. He doesn't know what the... There's no one else spam.
No, please don't.
He's not that popular.
All right. So, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, keep on fragging those trucks and those armor-locking...
Noobs!
Thank you.
Bye.